Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. We hope you're having a wonderful holiday week.
Yeah.
You're not too cold. Yeah. We don't know what that means because we're sweating here in Costa Rica. Don't feel sorry for us.
We are sweating here, to be honest.
I hope you're staying warm. Every time I see like blizzard hits the Northeast, I'm just like, whew. Do people know they can fly south? Sorry, it's a pandemic year too. Like, you might not even be able to fly south, but in normal years.
Yeah. Normal years, we welcome you guys to come down here and visit us in Costa Rica.
And we're sending warm wishes. I sound like an elitist a-hole right now, like sweating, and people listening are like, I'm freezing and I can't fly. Well, thank you for tuning in. We have a great show for you today where we welcome Kristen Scarlett back on the show for her third time, the trifecta.
Yes.
She is a licensed mental health counselor and nationally certified counselor with over 20 years of experience and is co-founder and clinic director of the Bryant Park office of Octave, a modern therapy and coaching practice located in New York and San Francisco. And today we talk about co-parenting with Kristen and all the tools to use specifically around the holidays or events and communicating with your co-parent and how to best navigate it for your kids.
Yeah. And I think the most important takeaway from this interview, and she stresses it throughout the whole conversation, is to make sure that the kids come first. That's really the most important thing. So, there's so many different family dynamics and different types of relationships and parenting, but I think if we all kind of come together and make sure that the kids are first, then that's the most important thing.
And as always, we appreciate you guys tuning in, leaving us those 5-star reviews, telling your friends and family about the show. And thanks for listening. Sending you warm wishes from Costa Rica.
Yep. Happy holidays. Enjoy. Before we jump into today's interview, we want to tell you about our online course, Spark My Relationship. Do you guys want to create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner in less than 90 days?
Yes, sign me up.
Then you guys need to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. It is an online course, like I mentioned, that we created with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you guys the strategies marriage therapists teach their clients.
We talk about it on the show. Relationships take work. Sometimes they function pretty easily and you coast along, but we've found the reality is you have to do work sometimes and to make them better, to change them so that they're more satisfying for both partners.
And you've made it here. You've made it to listening to our show. So you guys probably already know that a little bit, but what you might not know are the specific tools and exercises that you need to create those lasting and positive improvements in your relationship. And like Chase said, change does not happen on its own. It takes hard work. And that's why we created the course.
Spark My Relationship is designed to infuse your life and relationship with fresh passion, skills, and wisdom. And it's a self-paced journey that's perfect for turning up the heat, having some fun together, and revolutionizing your intimacy and communication.
And And just some tools and strategies that the course includes is to how to eliminate unhelpful old habits, develop mindful awareness to help improve your stress management, learn healthy and successful communication tools, create a deeper and more intimate bond, and strengthen your couple microculture, which you will find out what that is. In the future together. So for our listeners only, we're offering a special of $100 off the course. Visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to unlock your discount. And there is a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there really is no reason to not give it a try. So go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock for $100 off. Kristen, thanks so much for joining us back on the show. I think it's, what, your third time now?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Kristen, today we're going to talk about co-parenting, and this is going out right around the holidays, which can be a particularly challenging time. Sure, I come from a divorced parents, and so I knew and know that's always tricky. And just co-parenting in general. So why don't we start with having you share with our listeners how they can frame the co-parenting, let's call it relationship, and to set the context.
Sure. So the first thing, the first rule is always to put the children first. So no matter what, if you have a great relationship, co-parenting relationship, or a horrible co-parenting relationship, you always just want to make sure that you are always putting the children first. All the fighting and all of that should be behind the scenes. You want to make sure that you know what the especially for the holidays, you want to make sure that the kids don't feel like they have to choose where they're going to be, whether it's the holidays or whether it's the weekends. You want to make sure that you have things flow as smoothly as possible and let the kids know the plan well before. Kids like to feel, well, I guess everyone, we all do too, like to feel like they're in control of their situation. So if they're able to know the structure and the plan beforehand, then they'll feel more comfortable. And even if like vacations and, you know, for holidays, even if it's the first holiday and it feels like it might be uncomfortable or sad, if they're aware of what the holiday is going to look like and who they're going to be with on that day and when they're going to celebrate the holiday with the other parent, then they'll adapt. Children are very adaptable. So always kind of putting them first and allowing them to know the plan ahead of time.
Before we dive in a little bit more, can you just explain to us the difference of what co-parenting is versus a traditional divorced couple or divorced people that are parenting the kids separately? Because we hear that word often, the co-parenting, but I guess maybe just a little bit of background of like what makes that different.
Sure. So co-parenting really is kind of the same thing. It's just a new term that that we used, I think, to make things sound more parallel, mm-hmm. I guess. So and easier for the kids. So we want parents, even if they're not together, to still be able to raise the children together so that both homes are healthy and consistent. Both parents now, especially, should be involved pretty much the same amount. And they may have a very different relationship with the kids, but still they're working in conjunction. So it's not as if whatever happens in one household is completely different and inconsistent than what happens in the other household. You're working together. And that can be really challenging, especially if the parents don't necessarily get along. And that's why if they don't get along, if you have your rules set, if you have it kind of depends like what the relationship is, how many rules and different set of circumstances there may need to be. It's basically like an arrangement where both parents continue to jointly participate in their children's upbringing and activities. That's kind of what it is.
This can get quite complicated, obviously, especially around mm-hmm. the holidays. And one other thing I want to include in this already complicated conversation is other partners as well. So a divorced couple, and we're talking about co-parenting the kids, and then let's say that that couple also has new partners. So the reason I bring that up is, one, I think it's important and adds to the complication, but also you said, you know, put the children first as a general thing to remember when co-parenting, and how that jives with the significant other of one of the parents can be quite tricky. So let's just say Christmas is right here and you want the kids comes first, but then your partner also wants something to happen and you can't do those simultaneously. So I know it's not really a question, but I just want to throw that into the equation here, as I'm sure you've helped people through these kind of situations from both angles.
Sure. Everyone's situation is different. And, you know, every divorce is different and every co-parenting agreement is different. And you're right. Some people have eventually, we hope anyway, they have new partners. And sometimes the children love the new partners and sometimes they don't. And that's unfortunate too. So it's always different. And it's, you have to kind of navigate the situation, which is why there's no steadfast rules. But I guess the takeaways, the biggest takeaways are the new person never can replace the parent, right? So the parents are always the primary parents for the children, for the child. If there is a new partner, the biggest thing to remember for the parents is that this new partner is an added bonus for the child, not competition. And that's, I see that a lot in my practice where maybe a partner will come in and say, well, my children are going to my ex-partner's house and he's got this wonderful new girlfriend and the children love him and I feel jealous. And you know, if they're able to look at this as, isn't that great for the children? And this is hard. I mean, you have to be the better person in order to do this. But if you're able to say like, well, he's creating more of a home for these children. And again, the children come first. So this is difficult. But it's if you can look at it as the children come first, and especially around the holidays, creating more of a family type environment for the holidays might include having this additional partner. When new partners do come in, it's nice for the co-parent to meet the new partner. So just to kind of establish a relationship. So I have a lot of patients that have gone through this who actually have established a relationship and then address their co-parent and the partner as a So they talk to them as, you know, giving instructions about the co-parenting responsibilities to both of them, which I find, first of all, being the bigger person, but also really helpful for the children too. And it also allows the new partner to feel like they're part of this co-parenting or this blended family, which they really are.
How can co-parents navigate the holidays? Obviously, like you said, every situation is unique. But let's say, to me, as a child of divorced parents, I always had two or three Thanksgivings because extended family, you know, two or three Christmases. And I'm not complaining in a sense, but I don't know. It's sometimes, yeah, it just felt like a lot, especially as I got older. I was like, I don't want to eat another Thanksgiving meal. So, to me, a more idealized version is a blended family that not always, but sometimes, I guess, is having holidays together, especially for the kids, and especially if the kids are younger, that let's say with Christmas here, that rather than two different Christmases, there's one and everyone's just together. What are your thoughts around that?
That's a great point. It's a good thing to bring up. I remember being with my husband just, I think we may have just been dating, and my parents are not divorced. And so we would spend 1 year with my parents and we had one holiday and it was lovely. And then we would spend the next year with his parents, and his parents were divorced. We would go on Christmas. We would go to his mother's, then his father's, then his grandmother's. And I mean, we were just driving all over the place. So I understand how you must have felt as a child. And it is so ideally, in a perfect world, if the parents can put away their differences and get along for the day or a weekend, or we'll just say a day, if the family, the blended family, can spend Thanksgiving or Christmas or any holiday together for the children, I think that probably would be ideal. It can also not be ideal, because sometimes there's tension. I mean, it depends how the divorce went, how the parents are in each other's presence. Even if they're trying to get along, sometimes there is that underlying tension that children can feel. So sometimes that's actually not the best way to do it. It's different, you know, obviously it's different for everyone. I guess that you have to do what works for you. And it's important, like I said before, whatever it is that you decide to do, whatever's best for your family, whatever's best for the children, and that you decide works best for each of the partners and the children, putting the children first always in these situations. Just make sure that the children know what the plan is. And it can be tricky, again, when it's the first year. So one of the things is having realistic expectations. So some people try to really, really make the holidays perfect. And they try to overcompensate for not being together, or for not having, you know, whatever they assume the perfect holiday is. So they try to overcompensate. And that's not really that great either. Like, children just really want to have a nice holiday. They don't need to have a perfect holiday where you're kind of stressing yourself out anyway. Being the bigger person always is nice too, where you help your children pick out a gift for the ex. It's a good lesson for them to learn, not only being the bigger person, but also choosing gifts for their family members. It's important to check in with the kids too. And I think this is important in the beginning of the month, like a few weeks out, and throughout the month, asking your children how they're doing. It's the holidays. This year is different. How do you feel about being with your dad for the holidays? How do you feel about being with me for the holidays, or the new partner, or, you know, just kind of checking in with them and seeing if they're okay, making sure they know what the plan is, and allowing them to talk about it. And then something else is planning new traditions. And this is something that both sides can do. And maybe in a tradition, like in your family, you were saying, maybe a tradition wouldn't be to have Thanksgiving with your mom on Monday and then your aunt on Tuesday and your dad on Thursday. Like, so you're not eating turkey 50 times. Maybe the tradition is you have a nice Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then you have whoever doesn't have Thanksgiving that year, you go out to dinner and a movie the following night and have a nice night. So whatever it is, you can even come up with it as a family and come up with these new traditions to make the year special. And just one other reminder, mm-hmm. is just keep the kids out of any arguments that arise and any stress that arises making these decisions.
Can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned how it's different, like the first year, only because I know I read some statistic that this past year, I think due to the pandemic and everything, mm-hmm. the divorce rate was like significantly higher. And so there may be a lot of people this holiday season that are actually in that situation where it's the first holiday season separated or through a divorce. So can you talk a little bit about that and how people can navigate that situation?
Yeah. And that's actually what even made me think of this topic, is there are a lot of, because of the pandemic and what the, and, you know, isolation in general, there's been a lot of people fighting or splitting up. And so you're right, this has been the, this might be the first year for many, and this is kind of a unique situation anyway for the holidays for many people, if not, I guess, all people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess it, for the most part, it's kind of everything that I've said, is putting the kids first, talking to the kids and making sure that they know what the plan is. Having new traditions, but also this year in particular, creating different traditions. So for instance, we have, like in our family, we have a very, very small pod of three families. And we're trying to create any sort of tradition. So instead of going away and seeing our extended family for Thanksgiving and for Christmas and for New Year's and for any other holidays that have passed, I guess Easter, whatever else has happened, we've tried to come up with new traditions just in our little pod that we could do with our kids to try to make it as special as possible. And that's as a result of the pandemic. And you can do that, as you know, with the pandemic and with the holidays being different because there's a split. So the tradition may be, you know, it's, this year is such a challenge and it's been a challenge for everyone, but the tradition might be one parent has the children on the holiday and they do something nice at home. The other parent has, you know, makes cookies and watches a holiday movie or does a hot chocolate, or, you know, there's, you have to be really creative. And I'm sure you guys have seen this also. You have to be really creative right now. But the real takeaways are checking in with the children, putting them first, and making sure that any tension is behind the scenes. And also, if you're unable to work this out, just the two co-parents, you get someone to mediate. There's mediators, there's, you know, maybe a friend or a family member, but just keep the kids out of it so you're not fighting and adding to the pressure and the stress of the, that the holidays and the pandemic are already bringing on.
Before we continue on, we want to tell you about today's sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.
We mention it a lot on the show, but therapy is really one of the best things you can do as an individual and potentially as a couple to improve your personal life and your relationships.
And BetterHelp connects you with a professional counselor in a safe and online environment. You can communicate with your therapist via text, chat, phone, and video. And there are over 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states who specialize in relationships, depression, stress, anxiety, self-esteem, anger, trauma, and many more areas.
Anything you share is confidential, and if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. BetterHelp is secure, convenient, and professional.
And best of all, you can start communicating with a therapist in less than 48 hours. We want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/I do. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/I do. Today's episode is also brought to you by Function of Beauty. Function of Beauty is the world's first fully customizable hair care brand that allows you to create shampoos, conditioners, styling, and treatment products based on your hair needs, your hair goals, and your aesthetic preferences. There are over 54 trillion possible ingredient combinations to make sure your formula is as unique as you. One size fits all may work for your accessories, but when it comes to your hair care products, we all need something a little different to help us look our best. So here's how it works. You take a quick but thorough quiz where you tell them all about your hair. Next, the Function of Beauty team will determine the right blend of ingredients, bottle up your custom formula to order, then they deliver your personalized formula right to your door in a cute customized bottle with your favorite color and fragrance. They even print your name on it. It is so cute. So now when Chase tries to use my shampoo because it smells so nice, I can tell him to back off because it has my name on it. All of their formulas are vegan and cruelty-free. They never use sulfates, parabens, or any other harmful products. Function of Beauty is not just the first ever custom hair care brand. It's the internet's top rated custom hair care brand with over 40,000 real five-star reviews and counting. So what are you waiting for? Go to functionofbeauty.com/I do to take your quiz and save 20% on your first hair care order. Go to functionofbeauty.com/I do and let them know you heard about it from our show to get 20% off your hair care order. That's functionofbeauty.com/I do.
One of the things that I think is important too is maybe thinking about your own relationship to the holiday and why, you know, you might be like, I want the kid on Christmas and it's got to be Christmas Day and in the morning. And like you said, like creating new traditions, it's like you might just have this attachment to Christmas morning, and not to minimize that, but it's like that's just a day on the calendar that, you know, let's take religion out of it, but we decided culturally too that Santa comes that night and there's going to be presents in the morning. When it's like, well, yeah, to get a little creative and do presents the night before at one parent's house, and maybe Santa Claus comes early there. But just examining your own attachments to holidays, obviously, in particular, are tricky because they come on a certain day. But to those things around co-parenting.
That's a really good point, Chase. It's also, it brings up another thought is, sure, you might be attached to the idea of what holidays used to mean to your family growing up or your family that once was and now it's and now it's changed as of this year or last year or whenever the split happened, but also kind of letting go anyway. And one of the things to think about is, you know, it can be really, really hard to think about holidays without your children anyway. And this can lead to obviously feeling very emotional. And when someone's feeling very emotional, it's hard to even think of a plan or think rationally. Once you kind of take a deep breath and try to calm down, you can start to think about what you can think to do otherwise. And you're right, a holiday is a wonderful thing. You can have it on another day. You can be with your children and do all the things that you did on the 25th, on the 24th, or the 20th or the 30th or whatever. And on the 25th, you can chalk it up to another day and use it as self-care. And there are a lot of things that you can do, especially as a parent who's clearly gone through a tough time and is under a lot of pressure. You can use that day to either reach out to friends that you haven't seen, to read a book if you haven't had time to read a book, to exercise or do yoga. I've heard of people volunteering on that day to give back and to feel good about themselves. There's a lot as the parent who doesn't have the children that day can do to feel as if they're really making the most of the day and have also a new tradition for themselves on those days where they don't have the holiday traditions with their children.
If the co-parents have an amicable relationship, we talked about this earlier, but what do you see? Do you see that happening where it's just one big blended family, and kind of the maybe the issues around that, or if that's a bit idealized? But you know, I think about my parents, and yeah, as a kid going back and forth, and they're just actually 2 Thanksgivings ago was the first time my mom and dad and my mom's mom, my grandmother, that we all had Thanksgiving together, I think, since my parents got divorced like 16 years ago. And it was super nice. Yeah, yeah. And they had a, yeah, they didn't talk, you know, they were not friendly. It wasn't super nasty, but it was definitely not amicable. So anyways, that, and it was super nice. I mean, I was 31 years old at that point. But it was great. It was like, we don't have to take Stella to 2 different Thanksgivings. Like everyone mm-hmm. is just there.
Yeah.
I really appreciated that. So I can imagine as co-parents, that's why I say, like, to me, that's the best situation to strive for. But I understand that can be very unrealistic, but what are your thoughts or experiences around just like a blending of these holidays with the co-parenting and extended families and so forth?
I think if it can work out, then it would be ideal. And it's interesting to say, to hear your perspective on it. And you are an adult child of these parents, right? So your perspective was, okay, they weren't speaking, but everyone was in the same room and it was perfect. It was great. It was so much better than going to 6 different dinners or whatever. And you were thinking in terms of, you know, your child being with all of her grandparents mm-hmm. and you don't have to jump around from home to home, which is perfect. So in that situation, I think that sounds ideal. Another situation where it's like, where it isn't ideal is also if the parents either get along really well, the divorce is amicable, they're both totally fine. A lot of times this happens and co-parents can even be friends. And I think if they can share a holiday, then that's also ideal. After several years of divorce and both co-parents are with separate partners, sometimes they can also find that they can get along and do this. The only time I really don't think it's a good idea is in a situation that you've just described where the parents are together and they're not talking. So there is that underlying tension, except the children are young. So their perspective is completely different. So they can feel the underlying tension and it makes them uncomfortable. That's the only time I really don't think it's a good idea. And it's a good idea to split the holidays, or you don't have to split the holidays. I mean, you don't have to have, if one parent is celebrating one holiday, then the other parent celebrates the next holiday. You don't necessarily have to have 2 holidays, you know, especially for a holiday like Thanksgiving. Like I said before, you can actually have a different celebration or a different tradition where instead of having 2 turkey dinners, because I get that's not ideal, is one parent gets to take the children out to a movie and have pizza or something like that. And that's their Thanksgiving dinner instead of a turkey dinner. And then next year they have the big family turkey dinner.
Yeah, it's, and it gets complicated, and I know because I've been a part of it. And the Thanksgiving that I was talking about, my parents actually, after about 10 years, became much more amicable. And now I wouldn't say they're best friends, but they talk. I think my mom told me the other day, like once every 2 weeks. This is after like 15 years. So the Thanksgiving that I was describing 2 years ago, yeah, they were talking and friendly and. And as their child, that's just been such a relief, even as an adult. And yeah, especially having my own daughter, you know, being able to have both of her grandparents there is super valuable. So to anyone listening who is co-parenting and has kids, like, obviously, yeah, there's situations, as you've described, where it's just unhealthy for the child to be there. But if you can work towards putting the differences aside and being in the same place, and from my experience, even as an adult, it was much appreciated and very nice to have.
Absolutely. And that's so nice. It's such a relief for the children, whether they're children, whether they're adults, to see parents getting along like that and to see the tension kind of dissipate like that. I mean, it's such a relief no matter what.
For sure. And, you know, you touched a little bit on like alternating holidays or years. Obviously, again, there's all kinds of different situations. To me, the big thing there would also be just communication and probably even writing things down. Like, okay, you had the kids this day or this year for Christmas, and then write it down like next year, and, you know, communicating, hey, I'm planning to take the kids out of town on a vacation for this Christmas or whatever. But that also being very important.
Absolutely. Having an agreement, a contract that both parents know and that the children know, is very important. Having communication, having even a shared calendar and even shared with the children so that everybody knows what the deal is. Even, you know, right now, even knowing in the summer, like who's going where, when vacation is, it's good for everyone to know so that these conflicts don't necessarily arise. You almost have to look at this type, especially if the parents don't get along. You have to look at this type of arrangement like a business partnership. You kind of check the emotions out the door, and this is a business partnership. And you have to be fair. You have to be communicative. And try not to be manipulative. Try to have empathy for the other person. And again, you're always putting the kids first. So you're working towards the same goal, just like a business partnership.
What would you recommend for parents who are interested in whether or not their kids should have a say in where they're spending the holidays? And then if so, like what age does that come into play of them voicing, you know, maybe they want to spend Christmas with dad or with mom and so forth?
I think, you know, this is just my opinion because every family is so different, but I do think that that becomes touchy. I think that that works in a weekly schedule, like when the kids become a certain age, call it 15, 16, when one parent might live closer to their friends or their school, and they're at the age where they're going out and they're seeing their buddies all the time, and they'd rather spend, you know, they might call their mother or their father, whomever, and say, I'd really like to spend the weekend with this parent, and hopefully there's an understanding. But holidays are different. And I'm a strict believer that you kind of have to, the holiday setup should be for the parents to decide and not the children, because you don't really want one of the parents to feel left out, and you don't want, you know, holidays are tough and holidays are tough to begin with. So I just think that it should be consistent. And then everybody knows what's going to happen year after year.
Excellent, Kristen. Well, you have laid a great groundwork for our listeners to think about and apply some of these tools around what can certainly be very complicated topic. Are there any things that you want to emphasize or maybe something we didn't go over before we wrap up and say goodbye?
I think that's it. I would emphasize to put the kids first. I know I said it probably 15 times, but I would emphasize that you're going towards one main goal, and that's raising your children, and that it's not about what happened in the past. It's about moving towards the future. And the reason why it's called co-parenting is because you're in it together. and it's a partnership, and it's a new partnership, different than the one that you've left. So it's kind of a nice way of looking at it, is you've left one type of partnership that didn't work and you entered a new type of partnership that you're going to make work. And that's because you're focused on your kids.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and talk about this really, I guess, sensitive and important topic right now, especially during the holidays. So can you tell our listeners where they can find you online?
Absolutely. So I have, my website is kristenscarlettlmhc.com. And that's where you can find me. All the information's right there.
Great. Well, we'll have the links to your website and also the past episodes we've done with you on the show so our listeners can hear more from you. And thanks again.
Great. Thanks so much. Happy holidays.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show, guys. As always, the links will be in the podcast description as well as on the show notes on our website at idopodcast.com. And while you're on our website, we hope you guys check out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge. It's a challenge where we send you a daily email for 14 days with easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And it's honestly just a whole lot of fun to do with your partner. It's something new, and we think you guys will really enjoy it. So check it out. And while you're on the website, there are tons of free resources, as well as more information about our online course, Spark My Relationship, where our listeners can get $100 off. So check that out. You can go directly to the course website at sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. And that's where you can get the $100 off. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.